Let's look at a verse in Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, 21. And this is after the Lord cursed the fig tree. You remember the story of the cursing of the fig tree? And it's not my intention to talk to you about the cursing of the fig tree, because I don't know if I quite understand what that was all about, although I've heard some messages about it recently. But in 21:21, Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say, Unto this mountain be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. When I was a small boy, I read this verse, and I didn't read some of the other verses that pertain to prayer. And I prayed for the longest time for this one particular tree to be uprooted and cast into the sea, and it never happened. And it sort of shook my faith for a little while, and it wasn't until later in my life that I realized that the Lord doesn't always give us all of the instructions in one place in the Scriptures. And He rewards those who diligently seek Him, and He also rewards those who are willing to look at the whole picture. And the point of this, in all of the passages where the Lord talks to us about prayer, there are different aspects to asking of God, and there are different requirements. You've got to have all the requirements, but in each of these places, and we're going to go through some verses, there are several verses that say, Whatsoever ye shall ask, if ye do this, you'll receive it. And in each of them, the only thing that's the same is the asking. But there's different qualifications in each time. So you have to put them all together. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. You've got to put them all together to get the complete picture. But the point of this is that you need to have faith that God can work and will do what you ask. Now, the way this sounds, whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. And this sounds, if you don't understand what true faith is, it sounds like it's something about the power of positive thinking. That, you know, if I pray hard enough and believe it, I will someday be able to fly. You know, or something silly like that. There's all sorts of things that, you know, that I'll win the lottery if I pray in faith and believe. And it sounds like he's saying that it's the strength of your belief. But that's not the point here. Our prayer needs to be mixed with faith. We need to, when we pray, we need to believe that God can do what it is that we're asking. Well, let's look at another passage. Okay, John, in the book of John. The book of John and chapter 15. In 15, verse 16, there's two passages in here about asking. Actually, three times in this upper room ministry, we're told to ask. And in 15, verse 16, and then in chapter 16, verse 23, it says basically the same thing. But here it says, in John 15:16, it says, You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name. You see, that's different. It's not believing, it's in his name. Well, this has to do with the fact that you need to be in a relationship with the Lord Jesus before you can ask the Father for things. And so we ask the Lord, for God the Father, for things in the name of the Lord Jesus. And so that when we pray and we finish the prayer, you know, we're not just saying in the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. It's not a suffix to the end of your prayer. You're actually saying, okay, now we've prayed these things, Father, if you're corporately praying. And we want you to know that the reason that we feel like we can pray these things is because we have a relationship with your Son. Remember, we talked about bringing many sons to glory. We're in Christ, and so therefore, because we're in Christ, we can come to the Father, because he's our Father too. And so we come to God the Father in the name of the Son, and we ask in his name. Also, in chapter 15, verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So here's another qualification. We have asking in faith, asking in the name of the Lord Jesus, which implies a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You can't just tack in the name of the Lord Jesus onto the end of a prayer if you're not actually related to him. That doesn't get you anywhere. But here it says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So there's a necessity for abiding in Christ. And there's a whole, probably do several weeks of messages about abiding in the Lord Jesus. And what does that mean? But abiding in him and his words abiding in us. You know, it's a lot more likely, you're a lot more likely to ask for things that God is willing to give you if you're abiding in him. And this passage, chapter 15, it's talking about the vine and the branches and the need to get our life and our sustenance and our relationship in our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to get it other places. And then this need to stay close, to abide. You know, I have a friend, he's a guy named Charlie that I know, that he recently reconnected with his childhood sweetheart after all these years. Now, he's older than I am. I don't know how old he is precisely. And she lives in Florida. And after a long sort of courtship and engagement, they've gotten married. But she has two teenage sons from a previous marriage who are in high school down there. And they want to finish high school in their school where they are. So he lives in Coatesville and she lives in Pensacola. I don't think you could call that abiding. So, you know, they spend two or three weekends a month. It must be nice to have that many frequent flyer miles or whatever it is that they've got. But, you know, they spend weekends together. And sometimes we do that as Christians. We spend the weekend with the Lord. Or maybe Sunday with the Lord. And the rest of the time we're doing our own thing. And, you know, Abiding in Christ is a goal for every believer. There are some people who do it much, much better than I do. I get distracted really easily. My mind skitters off every which way. I don't have ADD or anything. It's just that my thoughts go fast and they get me away from where I need to be a lot of times. You know, it's difficult sometimes to study because you think about something and that reminds you of something else, which reminds you of something else. And the next thing you know, your mind is miles away from the passage that you're studying. It takes real discipline. But studying the scriptures for knowledge is one thing. But then reading them to get to know the Lord better is an entirely different thing. And meditation, you know, remembering the things that it says about Him and then praying and communing with Him, abiding in Christ. And when you're doing that, that's what you need if you want to have your prayers answered. So we have ask in faith, ask in His name, abide. Then, in the book of 1 John, now this is just sort of a short meditation on prayer. I'm not going to speak as long as I did this morning, but in 1 John chapter 5, and verse 14, it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." Excuse me. "And we know that if He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." So when I talk about these things, we need to, in faith, in His name, ask the Father in His name. We need to be abiding. In other words, we need to have our spiritual life in good shape. We need to be in a relationship with Him, and it needs to have the communication clear. And have His words abiding in us. So that, the words abiding in us implies that you're doing them. It says if man is a hearer and not a doer, he's not got much going on there, spiritually speaking. And then, we ask according to His will. So what are some of the things that we can ask according to His will? Well, any of the promises of God are according to God's will. So anything that God says that is a promise, you can ask for. Well, we can think of some promises. It says, and my mind just went completely blank. I can't think of any of the promises of God. There you go. The other thing that is something that we can ask for is any command that we're given in Scripture is an implied promise. Because God, of course, realizes that we in our sinful self can't obey His commands and He's got to do the work through us. So if the Lord says, "Be holy as I am holy," well, we can't do that on our own. But it's a command of God. And that, to me, the way I look at it, that's an implied promise. There's an implied promise there. God says, "You be holy." And He's not going to tell you to do something that He's not going to give you the ability to do. So if He says, "Be ye holy," then you know that somehow, through the grace of God working in your life, you can be holy. So you can ask for that. It says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And there are some of us who are very shy. We don't like to talk to people. We don't like to talk to strangers even, but we like to witness for the Lord. But we're told to go and preach the gospel. To do the work of an evangelist. Well, there's a command there, but also an implied promise. That if we ask God to give us the opportunity to do that, He will do it. Because it's according to His will. It says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Right? If He's not willing that any should perish, and all should come to repentance, and He commands you to go and tell all men to preach the gospel, baptizing, making disciples, why then you ought to be able to ask him to help you to do that, right? It says that we're to meditate in the Word of God. Some of us, like me, I have trouble with that. My mind gets going and I get off in all kinds of directions and I start wondering about who, you know, how old was, you know, the oldest guy in the Bible. And I start, you know, my mind wanders all over the place. Well, you can ask the Lord, help me to meditate. Help me to love your word. We're told to pray. Pray without ceasing. That's hard to do. But we understand that if God tells us to do it, that's his will for us. If we ask anything according to his will, he will do it. So anywhere that the scripture says, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, or this is the will of God for your life, any command of scripture is the will of God. If you ask anything according to his will, he'll do it. We have this promise. That's a liberating thing. You know, we don't necessarily have to do this stuff on our own. We don't have to somehow drum up the inner spiritual fire and make it happen on our own. We really can. So we have not to have any confidence in our flesh. And anything that we would do on our own would have to be in our flesh. You know, that's one that, you know, it's difficult. It's easy to have confidence in the flesh, but you can ask the Lord, Lord, help me not to have confidence in the flesh. Help me not to glory in anything other than the Lord Jesus Christ and the work that he's done in our lives. There's all sorts of things that we can ask. And then we got to ask in faith, believing that it will happen. We got to ask the Father in the name of Christ. And then as we do these things, we'll find that we're abiding more and more in Christ. So, a challenge to you, and I will probably forget this challenge by the next time I come back, maybe my wife can remind me, is to think of promises of God that you don't see fulfilled in your life. And look at things in your life that are commands of God that you feel like you're falling short of. Now, you probably don't have that. I do. But, you know, maybe some of you who are further along in the Christian life are living in perfect alignment with the will of God and fulfilling his commands 100%. I'm saying that facetiously. I know that we all struggle with. But the challenge would be to try to see in your prayer life if you can come up with a few things. Ask the Lord to show you the things where the promises of God that you need to be living up to in your life and the things that are commands of God that you're not doing. I always sort of pray that God will space the revelations of my shortcomings out, space them apart from each other. Every once in a while, because if they all came at once, it'd be horribly devastating to know just how far short I am. I mean, I know I'm falling short of the glory of God in my life. But you know, the Lord's very gracious in showing us, well, you know, you could do this a little better now. You know, why don't you commit this to the Lord and he'll work on it. But the challenge is to come up with some promises that you don't feel like perhaps are coming true in your life. That's the will of God. Or things that the Bible says are the will of God for your life that you're not doing. Or even commands, straight up commands. Do this, and you feel like, well, I'm not quite doing it right. And pray about it. Commit it to prayer. Ask God to help you with it. Say, Lord, I'm not doing this the way I know you want me to do it. But I want to do it. And I believe that you can change this part of my life to make it more like your son. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I know that this is in your will, so I'm asking in full confidence that you can do it. And test God. Try him out. See if he works. See if he'll do what he says. I used to have a very incautious and somewhat hurtful tongue. I've said some, in years past, I've said some very mean things to people, folks. Some things I think about and it still makes me cringe. I can't believe some of the stuff I've said to people in my past life. And I realized that the Bible says that we're to be kind, tenderhearted. You know, we're to watch what we say. So I started praying, Lord, put a watch before my tongue. Let the words of my mouth, particularly in the meditations of my heart, be acceptable. And there was one other one that I can't remember right now. And you know, I said, you've said to do this and I'm not doing it, so you're going to have to help me. And I committed it to the Lord. And He has changed me to the point where I think before I speak. And I care about what I say, whether it will hurt people. And I've become, by the grace of God, I've become quite diplomatic. And I didn't used to be. I used to be very hurtful in my speaking. So I can say that I know that this works. So look in your life. Look in the scriptures and say, Lord, what is it that I'm supposed to be doing? And where am I falling short? And then commit it to the Lord and ask. You know, the things that the Lord has that He wants us to ask, you notice most of the time that it's not about our physical well-being. And that's not to say that we shouldn't pray. And they prayed for Peter that he would get out of the jail. They prayed for sick people in the New Testament. We have that. But you look at what Paul prayed for in the bulk of his things. And he prayed for spiritual blessing in his life and for the lives of people around him. And you know, the other thing that's really wonderful about this is you can intervene in the lives of people around you. It's not just about what you're praying for yourself. We don't want to always be self-centered about this. You know, you can look around and you can see a brother or a sister in Christ who's not living the way that they should. Perhaps has a bad habit. Temper. Or forgetfulness or irresponsibility or something like that. And rather than go around to the other brothers and sisters, I'm sure this never happens here, and complain about the problem that they have. And that's something that is a temptation for all of us. You can ask if what they're doing is contrary to the will of God. You can ask that the Lord would bring them into alignment with His will. Because we're to bear each other's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And if bad habits aren't a burden, I don't know what they are. We can pray for others and help them along in their Christian life. Just remember when they start to show progress and they're doing better and they don't have that bad habit anymore, don't go up to them and say, you know, you used to be a really awful person, but I prayed for you. That's not very nice. Don't do that. But prayer works if you know how to work it, if you know what I mean. It's not a magic formula. It's not an abracadabra, hocus pocus, out of focus, you know, wave the magic wand. That's not what it is at all. It's a communication with a living God. You're talking to the God of the universe when you pray. And you're coming to Him based on your relationship with His Son. And you're coming to Him believing that He can do what He says He'll do. And what He says He'll do is the part about His will. And, you know, you're asking Him to do things so that you can abide in Him. And can you can be more like Him so that you get along better with Him. And prayer, to me, as I understand it, is a means of furthering our relationship with God. It's bringing our hearts and thoughts and passions and patterns of behavior and into line with the way God wants us to be.
And if we're willing to commit to it, really willing to commit to it, not just have a prayer list that's about, and I'm not saying don't pray for these things, but you know, our prayer list shouldn't be about everybody's aches and pains. We need to pray for everybody's aches and pains. But you know, if all their aches and pains go away and their life isn't made more like the Lord Jesus Christ, then it's kind of pointless to pay for the aches and pains. It may be that some of the aches and pains are a tool that God is using to bring their life into alignment with Him. We don't know that. We can't judge that. We shouldn't assume that that's what it's there for. Sometimes aches and pains are just because you're sick. You can pray that people get better. I'm not suggesting that you don't pray for the physical well-being of people. But what I am saying is you need to add a dimension of prayer about bringing yourself and bringing other people's behavior into line with the will of God. Because it's our behavior that's important. The way we speak and the way we act and the way we treat other people. I know some people, there are some people who take the name of Christ that I know some very ungodly people who have better behavior than they do, that treat people better than they do, and they don't take the name of Christ. And I know that but for the grace of God working in my life, I could be like that. I could be a very mean and nasty person. And we need to find out what the will of God is for our lives. Anywhere we see the will of God, we need to put the will of God up alongside of our life and look at it honestly and try to figure out if we're in alignment with it. And if we're not, we need to pray about it. We need to try by the grace of God to bring ourselves into alignment. And prayer is a very powerful thing because if you honestly and sincerely come to God based on your relationship with His Son, and you really get down to grips with God and you ask Him for things that are His will, watch out, He'll do it. It'll change your life. And it's a wonderful thing to see in people's lives. So, well, I think I've been talking for about a half an hour and it's late in the afternoon and we're all full of food, so why don't I close in prayer and thank you again for asking me to come speak. I always enjoy coming here. A lot of good memories associated with this place. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for giving us your word. We thank you for the promises, the commands that are in your word, and we thank you for prayer. We thank you that if you've given us, if we come to you the way you've laid out for us, we come to you humbly, that you will do what we ask you to do. And it's not because we're somehow, you know, special people or better than others, but because of our obedience and humble humility toward you. We pray that you help us where we lack in these things. Help us to see where we fall short, and give us the faith to pray that you would change us more into your Son's likeness. We thank you again for this assembly. We pray that you would bring them closer together spiritually, and that you would help them in this neighborhood to be a light and to reach out to those who are out. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.